Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians were off on Wednesday, a little break in the spring training Cactus League action. They will be back on the field today as they take on the Royals. The lineup has been released, and it's starting to look a lot more like a lineup that we'll get used to seeing every day, with Jose Ramirez in that number three spot. Stephen Kwan at the top of the order there as well. But the club did announce a few roster moves. Not the roster moves we were expecting to see, not as many or one in particular, but we did see that they optioned a few guys and reassigned some more from Major League Camp. The roster down just north of 35 players still in Major League Camp. They got a cut about 10 more guys. Jose Tena was optioned to Columbus. They reassigned Jack Leftwich and Adam Oller, and they reassigned a handful of other guys, but are keeping them in Major League Camp basically to fill out the roster so that they, the starters don't have to play every inning for the rest of the Cactus League schedule. Anthony Banda, Jaime Barea, Dom Nunez, Ray Delgado, Micah Priest, and Lorenzo Cedrola, all reassigned, but still with Major League Camp. First, just your impressions of those moves for the reassignments and the options there, and what still remains to be done to this roster before they have to get down to 26 guys.
Joe, they didn't give us much clarity on the big questions. Number one, who's going to be the fifth starter? Number two, who are the four new guys going into the bullpen? And number three, who's the starting shortstop? I mean, they sent Tania down or optioned him, but he wasn't going to be, he was kind of on the outer edge of that competition. He wasn't going to be the starting shortstop. So we didn't get a whole lot of answers today, and I'm like, I'm getting nervous here, Joe.
Well, I mean, we don't want you to be anxious, Hoynesy. I'm sure once you get back out to Arizona, they'll have things a lot more settled. But we would like to sort of preview and give our predictions on what we think the Guardians opening day roster, the 26 guys who are going to break camp, be on the opening day roster for the Guardians, it's going to be. And there are a lot of tough decisions that still need to be made on some of these guys. And the way that we've sort of gone through this and broken it down, I think there are several hard decisions and surprises maybe among them. Let's start with the starting rotation. And pretty obvious on the at the top, and I think everybody can agree, as long as Shane Bieber, Tanner Bibee, Logan Allen, and Tristan McKenzie make it through the next week healthy, those are your top four guys. You tend to agree with that?
Yeah, no doubt about it. As long as McKenzie, gets through this camp healthy, knock on wood, he made it to his last start in last spring training before getting injured, but I think he's had a good camp. So yeah, those are my four guys.
Now, this is where we differ, maybe in our opinions. And I'm, I think you might have a little bit more of an edge because you've seen some of these guys throw live out there in Arizona. I'm going on what we can see stats wise and camp performance this year. I think that the fifth starter spot, is going to come down to one of maybe three guys: Tyler Beede, who's had an outstanding camp; Carlos Carrasco, who's Mr. Old Reliable and sure and steady; and Ben Lively, who's on the 40-man roster, and that might give him an edge, but he's also been away from camp and ill and not had a chance to pitch as much. So, my pick out of those guys, I'm going for chaos. I'm going for the guy that they're going to need to create a 40-man roster spot for. My pick is Tyler Beede. Who do you have to fill out that fifth spot?
Yeah, I'm going with Carlos Carrasco. He's pitching today against Kansas City. And Beatty, like your guy, your choice, Joe, pitched a triple-A game yesterday. So they're both kind of right on schedule, you know, to make that, to be that fifth guy. So we're going to have to see how it works out. But I like Carlos. I like his experience. And I think, you know, he was made for this situation, for an injury. You know, the Gavin Williams injury opened the door here. And I think he's ready to kind of step through that door.
Just to play devil's advocate, Tyler Beatty, 6'2", 216 pounds, 30 years old, you know, came over after pitching a year over in, I believe, in Japan, in four appearances during the spring, two starts, a 1.69 ERA, 10 strikeouts in 10 and two-thirds innings. Officially, if he, you know, if he had maybe pitched in some minor league on the backfields or whatever, a 1.31 whip. He has had an outstanding camp. And so, you know, maybe there's a move to be made there on the 40-man roster to get him activated, and we'll see. So that leaves us with the bullpen, where there have been some injuries and some questions and some opportunities. Let's start from the back end. We know who's going to be the closer. We know he's there. We're looking for eight guys to fill out this bullpen, and Emmanuel Class A and really Scott Barlow, should be two no brainers right there at the back end of the bullpen.
Yeah, Joe, I'm going to go with my first four guys are going to be Class A, Sandlin, Barlow, and Eli Morgan. I know Eli's struggled, but you know, he's a veteran guy, and they've got nobody else. They've with so many injuries. Okay. Then I'm going to fill out the four remaining spots. I'm going to go with Timmy Herron, Gaddis. I mean, then you know, Cade Smith, and then I've really got a tough choice between Lively and Beatty. You know, Beatty's probably. He might get the edge there. I think I might go with Beatty, Joe. You've convinced me. And, you know, he's pitching. He pitched in relief last year. This isn't going to be anything new to him.
So we've got four guys right now who are not in line to make the roster because of injury in Sam Henches, James Karinchak, Trevor Stephan, and Gavin Williams. Two of those guys I can see going on to the 60-man or 60-day injured list and opening up 40-man roster spots, those being Stephan, who's having surgery, and Karinchak, who really hasn't even progressed to any sort of serious throwing program yet. So it's going to take a while for him to get built up to where he needs to be. The other two, Gavin Williams, Sam Henches, seem like they're a lot closer. I think 15-day injured list stints for them, you know, keeps them on the 40-man roster and just means that they're there are what three of these or three or four of the, yeah, three guys that need to be cut, I think, from this group who are still in camp or still on the camp roster. If you throw Anthony Gose in there, who I think is an easy one to say, you know, he's not going to make the club out of spring training. So if you're cutting Gose, I also have them cutting Ben Lively. That would open up a 40-man roster spot, and I think that 40-man roster spot is going to be taken by Cade Smith. I think he's shown a lot of potential, and you know he's sort of in a position that Tim Herron was in at this point last season, coming out of camp, and he made the opening day roster. He wasn't around for very long, but he impressed enough in camp, just with you know just passing the eye test and just how hard he throws. I think Cade Smith makes the roster. My eight for the bullpen, counting backwards from Class A, Barlow, Gaddis. I think he's developed into a solid maybe guy who they can use to replace Trevor Stephan. Smith, Sandlin, Timmy Herron, Xavion Curry, and Carlos Carrasco. You'll notice the name that I didn't mention in there. I think they're going to come to a hard decision. I think they're going to have to part ways with Eli Morgan.
Wow, that's a heck of a move if they really do part ways with Morgan. If you know Joe, he hasn't pitched well, but he's got the track record. You know, and if he's healthy, you know, I would think you know they'd have confidence in him. But this is a new manager, new coaching. You know, pretty much of a new coaching staff. you know, it's a new set of eyes. So we'll have to see how that works out.
Yeah, I mean, if this were last year and it were it was Tito making the call, I don't think I would be as confident in that. I think Eli Morgan would still be on the roster in spite of an awful spring. And, you know, like you said, it's a new set of eyes. It's a new set of evaluations coming through. But, you know, Carl Willis is still the guy there. And Stephen Vogt's going to lean on him, you know, pretty heavily. I just think that, you know, Morgan hasn't shown enough, and really you can't deny just the number of home runs he's allowed in spring training. It's kind of eye opening. And do they want to go through the first couple of months trying to figure out if Eli Morgan's still got it? I don't know when they can give Cade Smith or any one of these other guys an opportunity to throw those innings. So that's the pitching staff. We get it down to 13, and those are the guys that you know, we've debated about here. What do you think of the position players and what we're going to need to see, what moves we're going to need to see made over the next, you know, week or so in order to round out those 13 guys? I guess the biggest debate right now in our minds as we talked, it comes down to, do you keep five outfielders with Esteban Florial, or do you keep David Fry on the major league roster and try to find innings and at-bats for him that way? Or do you send David Fry, who you're trying to make into more of a full-time catcher or a full-time backup catcher option, do you send him out to AAA and let him play there every day? And really work on his craft behind the plate to have him ready in case something goes wrong with Bo Naylor or Austin Hedges. And we had some differing opinions on that when we started talking. But Hoynsie, you convinced me. I came around and I sort of flipped things around and said, I think they're going to send David Fry out. That's why I have Hedges and Naylor as my two catchers opening the season on the roster.
Yeah, Joe, from everything Stephen Vogt said early in camp, they wanted Fry to catch every day, to concentrate on catching, to really kind of make that his number one discipline. So, you know, if he's not going to catch that much, if he makes the club here behind Hedges and Bo Naylor. So if you really want him to be a catcher, you know, and you're looking down the road, maybe next year, you would send him to Columbus and let him catch every day and be the regular catcher. But, you know, Vogt also said that toward the end of camp, they'd start moving him around if they wanted to. And they have done that. They've played him at first base and you know, and a couple other positions. So we'll see. But I think they open with two catchers, Joe.
All right. And I'm going to agree with you there. I think two catchers open on the roster and five outfielders. I think they go with, obviously Stephen Kwan at the top, Ramon Laureano, Miles Straw and Will Brennan. Will Brennan, you know, may be vulnerable if they decide to make a bold move because, you know, he's not a guy who's like got a contract or, you know, making a lot of money there. And I think the fifth outfielder will be Esteban Florial. And that leaves you with room for six infielders. And that comes to the question of did Davison De Los Santos do enough to make the opening day roster in your mind?
Yeah, I think he did, Joe. They wouldn't have sent down Manzardo if they didn't think so. So, you know, he's the Rule 5 guy. They've got to carry him. They've got to give him a chance. Because they knew the scenarios, how this was going to unfold when they drafted him back in December. They knew Manzardo had a great Arizona Fall League. They still drafted De Los Santos, so they knew that was going to be a logjam, and they have obviously have made a decision there.
Among the infielders, we have Jose Ramirez, obviously. Josh Naylor, obviously. Andres Jimenez, obviously. And Tyler Freeman, who has had a tremendous camp, you know, looks seamless in transitioning to the outfield as well, can still play anywhere on the dirt that you want him to. I think Freeman makes this club, and they try to get him at bats throughout the early part of the season as well. So that leaves the question of who wins the opening day shortstop job. Does it go to Brian Rocchio or Gabriel Arias? Hoynesy, I have them cutting Arias, optioning him to AAA, and giving the starting shortstop job to Brian Rocchio.
Joe, the more this spring training has unfolded, especially this last week or so, you know, I tend to agree with you. I was an Arias guy since opening a camp. You know, I thought he was making progress last season. He hit 10 home runs. You know, he's really a good defender. He's got a strong arm, but he's just kind of treading water right now in spring training. And if you're just going on spring training alone, if you're looking at it head to head, you know, Rocchio's been the better shortstop.
Yeah, and he's the guy who's got the hot hand right now. Three consecutive multi-hit games, hits in his last six of his last eight spring training games. Right now, he's feeling it at the plate. And you can also see that that raw power, you know, sort of starting to emerge a little bit, which was never really supposed to be a huge part of his game. But, you know, he's hitting doubles and home runs. He's not just hitting singles and getting on base that way. So we have, you know, I think our consensus here maybe is a Rocchio among the six infielders to make the opening day roster. And that really fills it out. The one name that we haven't mentioned, technically, because they don't have to cut him. He's not in major league camp. He's just sort of there hanging around hitting home runs all over the place, is Chase DeLauter, the 2022 first round draft pick, who's, you know, not really had a full season of minor league ball, you know, on his resume. But this is a guy who looks like he's ready to go out there and start from day one. Do you think, you know, in the next 7 days that DeLauter can do anything to convince them to take him over Florial?
Boy, that's now that would be a story. You know, that's the kind of thing you like to that comes out of spring training. But I do not think so, Joe. You know, the my heart is saying yes, do it. You know, it's going to be a great story. But my brain, what little of it is left, is saying no. You know, the practicality is, you know, at some point in the next 6 or 7 days, they're going to talk to DeLauter and say, kid, you had a hell of a spring. Now go back into the minors and wherever you end up, and maybe perhaps at double A, and, you know, just knock the door down and keep improving. I just can't see this organization just, you know, like you said, he hasn't even played a full year in the minors, Joe, and just giving him the keys to the car and letting him be the starting right fielder. I mean, if he made the big league club, he'd have to start. And like you said earlier, you know, this kid, you know, they really don't have to make a move. He's not on. He's mm-hmm. not. He wasn't invited to camp. He's not in. He's not on the 40-man roster. He's kind of he just showed up. You know, he just kind of walked down the hall from the minor league clubhouse like a Wonder Boy and started hitting home runs. So, you know, officially, they don't have to make a move with him.
Right. I think the most likely scenario is that DeLauter opens the season at double A. Spends about 2 to 3 weeks at double A, just mashing the ball all over the place, gets immediately promoted to triple A and spends the next, you know, month to 2 months, working on getting at bats every day. And then by the time, the Guardians, platoon or, you know, however many, players decide to play in right field, you know, get to their numbers in terms of, what they've been over the last several years, and the calls for him to be promoted get louder and louder. I think sometime, possibly in June, you see DeLauter, if he's able to continue what he's doing, if he stays healthy in the minors, or, you know, maybe they just stick with the formula of they could maybe bring him up in September. But I think you're going to continue to hear a lot of calls for Chase DeLauter, just like you did Bo Naylor at this time last year. And so neither of us have him making the opening day roster, but Hoynesy, there are still 7 days remaining or 6 days remaining to before you know, anything becomes official. So you never know what can change in that time.
Yeah, Joe, and it's just, you know, it really is. It's a heck of a story. You know, and it's just too bad, you know, that the rules, they changed the rules a couple of years ago where you can only bring you can only increase your, you know, your roster by what, one or two players in September, you know, because, you know, that would be the ideal time to get a look at Manzardo and DeLauder, you know, when you could bring up as many as 40 players, you could bring everybody on the 40 man roster up in September. The Guardians rarely did that, or the Indians rarely did that, but, you know, that would be an ideal time. So, you know, the rule change is kind of hurting, you know, it hurts those prospects that as when it comes to getting their feet wet in the big leagues.
All right. I want to remind our listeners that if you're tuned in and you want to get immediate text updates on where Chase DeLauder is going to end up, what cuts are being made, you can get them on a subtext by subscribing. It's our subscription text service, $3.99 a month. You hear from Hoynes and from me directly on your phone. No social media, no waiting around. You get the information as soon as we know it. We pass it on to you. Go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346. All right, so that's our roster projection. That's our roster predictions. We'll come back tomorrow with a look at what we think the lineup will be and what options we think manager Stephen Vogt has in that regard, and we'll discuss it and debate the ins and outs of that, and what would be an advantage and a disadvantage there. Hoynesy, we're getting ready. By the time we talk to you on Monday, you'll be back in Arizona and ready to go with these guys.
Yeah, Joe, it's the opening day is almost here, so let's keep our fingers crossed and see what happens.
All right, we'll talk to you then here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast.